book of John chapter 1. The book of John chapter 1. And if you want to, while I'm reading the introduction, you can hold your finger there and turn to Hebrews chapter 5. John chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 5. The last few weeks I've been dealing on the topic of serving God on Sunday morning. At the same time, we've been studying the book of Revelation on Sunday night, which has been compelling us to sound the gospel alarm because Jesus is coming and the world needs to be ready. This morning, I want us to transition into another topic that should help us to serve God even greater. This morning, I want to talk about the Word of God. The Word of God. That's the topic of this morning's message. Now, please understand at the very beginning of this message, I am talking about the written Word of God. And I hope that each of you have a copy in your hands. Now, I sent out a Facebook message and a church-wide email Friday prompting each of you to bring your copy, your personal copy of God's Holy Word with you this morning. Now, the first question I have this morning is, what does the Word of God say about the Word of God? Now, listen to the question again. What does the Word of God say about the Word of God? Now, the Word of God says a lot about the Word of God, but I'm just going to focus on two passages of Scripture this morning. We're going to focus on two. I could use multiple, maybe even hundreds of verses that could do the same thing that I'm going to do this morning, but I'm going to use two. So let's read first in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him. Apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in Him, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, yet the darkness did not, and let me insert here, will not overcome. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Excuse me, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The writer of Hebrews, which many believe is Paul, but I believe is Luke, and I'm going to tell you why here in this verse. Verse 12 writes this: For the Word of God is living and effective and sharper than a two-edged sword, penetrating as far as divide the soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. It is a judge of the ideas and thoughts of the heart. No creature is hidden from Him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. And God, right now as we open Your Word, I want to confess that I can't preach this without You. There's no way in the world that I could preach a message of this magnitude about Your Word without You being present. So God, we pray that You would be with us this morning. Be with me, hide me that I might not be seen, but Your Word would be heard and these people would praise because of not me, but because of You. Lord, these are Your people. We are Your people. Help us to hear a fresh word from You. Feel a fresh touch from You. Be revived, renewed, refreshed as we walk out these doors into our mission field, that we might once again be effective in doing what You've called us to do, and that's to serve You. God, we need to hear from You this morning. The only way we're ever going to hear from You is through Your Word. So let us be attentive. Let us listen to what You have to say. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Now listen, some of you received this morning, love letters. It's Valentine's Day. Some of you received love letters this morning. You opened those letters and it said, Dear darling, dear honey, the love of my life, sugar booger, honey bun, carrot cake, I mean, whatever you call them. But you got a love letter this morning. You might have gotten a card. You couldn't think of the words to say, or you were too lazy, so Hallmark wrote it for you, right? Oh, Hallmark. You might have gotten a balloon, a box of candy, some flowers, something. Something from the person who loves you the most. Listen to me, church, from the beginning of this message, I want to tell you a little secret. This morning, if you have your Bible in your hand, and I ask you, I ask Wednesday night crowd to bring it, I sent an email out, and if you didn't get the email, Deborah, raise your hand right here for me real quick. I'm not going to make you stand up. Deborah is the church secretary right here. If you will write your email down, she will put you in the email list. And anytime there's an email goes out, she will send you an email. So we sent you an email asking you to bring your copy of God's Word with you here this morning. I sent out a Facebook post. Well, why? Because I want you to understand something. If you brought your copy of God's Word with me, I want you to hold it up in there. I want to see how many of you brought your copy. Amen. That's pretty good. What you hold in your hand is 66 intimate love letters from God Almighty to you. To you. I mean, letters that are so intimate that as you're reading them, you can feel the love because they were written to you personally. They were written to us corporatively, but they were written to you personally. It's just like that ooey-gooey love letter that you received from the one who loved you the most. When you saw it stuck to your windshield, you went and got that thing and you sat down. You didn't crank that car up. You sat down there and you read, "Dear darling." And you hung on every word. And when you got done with it, you know what you did? You know what you did? I know what you did because I did it too. You'd smell it. Why would you smell? Listen, back in the day when girls wrote love letters, you know what they'd do? Chanel, number 5 or whatever, you know. Why? Why would you do? Why? Because they, you know, that's their scent. You know, ooh. You wouldn't just leave that love letter sitting in the front seat, would you? For everybody to read? Bill, you remember those love letters? You remember them? You didn't get any? I know Jeff wrote some love letters, didn't you? Jeff's over here turning red. Couple. Now, would you leave those dudes out for Jackson to see him when he gets old enough where he can read? No. Those things are personal. They're intimate. This is between you and the one you love. That's what these 66 books are, church. These are 66 intimate love letters from the Lord God, Jesus Christ, from Him to you. I want to give petition at the very beginning of this message. Some of you have never even read them. I promise you, listen to me, if you read them the way I just described them, it'll take on a whole new meaning to you. Because that's how much God loves you. The way we just sang about God's love, that's exactly how much God's love He has for you. Well, I don't feel it. Well, get into His Word. I can't feel it when I'm not in the Word. I can't feel it. I can't see Him. I can't even detect His presence apart from the Word of God. And I haven't even gotten on the first point yet. What does God's Word say about God's Word? Now, we looked at 1 John and we looked at Hebrews chapter 4. What is it that God's Word says about God's Word? Well, number one, the Word of God has always been. We saw that in John chapter 1. The Word of God has always been. What this means is just like the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have always been, so has the Word of God always been. There has never been a time when the Word of God was not, and according to Mark 13:31, which says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." There's many who have tried to destroy God's Word. And today people are still trying to dismantle, divide, and destroy God's Word. But Jesus said it will never happen. Never happen. Why? Because this Word, because His Word is the Word of God. Oh, listen, church, there's been people who've tried. There have been nations, and there are still nations today. They have to smuggle the Word of God in. I've got a friend on Facebook. He's in Kenya right now, and he reaches out and he begs people, please send Bibles, please send Bibles, please send Bibles. And every now and then he'll show pictures of a new box of Bibles coming in and him passing them out to the people. And the people are just holding the Bibles in their hands. Some of you I have seen, I posted a video, I think it was in China not too long ago, or Korea not too long ago, where certain areas the Bible is just completely, I mean, you can't have a copy of God's Word, and it's been translated into their Word, and these people hold the Bible in their hands, and they're weeping and jumping with joy, and they're holding a God's copy, and immediately, they don't walk out the door, immediately where they stand, they find a place to sit, and they open it, and they start ingesting it and digesting it into their life. God's Word has always been. It always will be. There'll never be a time, Gary, there'll never be a time where we can say the Word of God was, because the Word of God is. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 teaches us something else about God's Word. The first thing it teaches us is that it's living. It's alive. It's living. It's alive. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 teaches us, Christians, that the Bible, your Bible that you hold in your hands, is living. It's alive. I know how some of you are sitting here right now thinking, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in all my life. Alive? Alive? But I want to petition with you to think with me here. I can't listen to my Bible and hear a heartbeat. But when I read it, I feel the heart of God. If I were to cut my Bible, it would not bleed. But as I read my Bible, I see that I can only obtain salvation through the blood that was shed by His Son, Jesus Christ. I cannot feel my Bible breathe if I hold it close to my face. But when I read it, church, when I read it, I can feel the breath of the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I have never had a conversation with my Bible, but about the day's events. But church, if a day goes by that I do not have the Word of God open, it calls out to me. If it not only speaks, but it cries out to me. It yells to me. Where are you? Where are you? You see, just as some of us right now are smelling food in the air and we have a craving in our mouth for something to eat, the Word of God makes us crave it. Do you know why? Because it's alive. And when we take the Word that is alive and we open our eyes, Bob, to the Word that is alive, and it goes through our eyes to our mind and to our heart, it not only affects us, it infects us. We're not the same. If you are the same, something is wrong. Hebrews tells us the Word of God is alive, but it tells us something else, church. Hebrews also tells us that the Word of God is effective. This word means real, actual, active, current, and operational. That's a military word. I had to throw that in there for our military here this morning. It's operational. What do you mean, Brother Kyle? What this means is that from the very beginning of time, the Word of God has been relevant and accurate to meet the need of this world. Church, if you want to know what God's Word says about any given topic, I'm talking any and every, it has an answer. The Bible has an answer. Listen, please hear me. if you don't hear anything else I say, please hear what I'm about to say here. Please hear this. The only reason we have ever failed in life is when we did not seek out an answer in God's Word before we acted. Let me say that again. The only reason we have ever failed in life is when we did not seek out an answer in God's Word before we acted. And let me add this. You listening? When we failed, the Word of God did not tell us to fail. It did not point us in a direction of failure. I'll add this as well. The Word of God, if you will keep it, you will never fail. The world might fail, and you might sin, but you, staying with the Word of God, you will never fail. How can you fail? You can't. You can't. The Word of God has never and will never lead you astray. You know, we all go down different paths in our life. If you stay in the Word of God, the Word of God's not going to say, hey, why don't you go to the juke joint tonight? Some of y'all don't even know what a juke joint is. Hey, why don't you go do this tonight? Why don't you go hang out with this person or that person? Listen, Word of God is never, ever, ever, ever going to lead you astray. The Word of God is always going to keep you on the right path. The right path. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 also tells us this. It says, the Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, this is where one of the reasons why I believe Luke wrote this scripture. Because the Hebrew word for sword here is not a sword that a warrior would carry into battle. This word is makaira. Makaira. A makaira is a scalpel. It's a small knife used by a doctor or a surgeon. What was Luke? A doctor. A surgeon. He says in Hebrews chapter 4, 12, he says, the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, penetrating as far to divide soul. Now listen, it's so sharp. This Word is so sharp that it divides the soul from the spirit, joints, and marrow. That's how surgically precise the Word of God is. You know what that means? It goes right to the heart of the matter. It goes right to where the problem is. We go get CTs and we go get MRIs and we get x-rays. The Word of God, as you read it, and you ingest it through your eyes, and it goes to your mind, and it goes to your heart, it spreads out through your body, and it finds where the problem is, and the Word of God tells you not only what your problem is, but how to fix your problem. It's amazing. You understand, that's why they call Jesus the great physician. The Word of God is complete, it's accurate, it's true. John Phillips says this, God's Word cuts right through all profession of faith. All profession of faith. Stripping away that which is merely natural from that which is truly spiritual. What this means is we do not have anything the Word of God, the Word of God doesn't tell us to remove. The Word of God essentially is a knife that just removes everything in our life that shouldn't be there. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, a makaira, a scalpel. Hebrews tells us finally that we cannot hide anything from the Word of God. What this means, church, is God's Word exposes every aspect of our life. This may be why most people don't read their Bibles like they ought to, because it shows all of the dirt. The way I see this scripture is this. You're walking in the darkest of nights, and you're walking down a trail, and then all of a sudden your eyes have finally become sensitive enough to where you can see certain things. You can see the outlines of trees as the moon comes through the tree lines. And you're walking down this path, and you can't see the leaves on the ground, but you can hear them as they crunch underneath your feet. then all of a sudden you turn a corner and a spotlight out of the top of the trees exposes you in the middle of the woods, and you're blinded. You're blinded by this light. Listen, that's what the Word of God is. That's how the Word of God exposes you. There's no part of your body that's not illuminated. The Word of God exposes you that way. It exposes you in another way as well. Y'all seen CSI, right? Everybody's seen some sort of version, one of the 500 or 600 versions they have of CSI, which I want to go ahead and tell you. They got the idea from Quincy back in the 80s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Can I get an amen from some of you old people? Quincy was the man. You know, Mark, they'll come into some crime scenes, and man, it's like there ain't nothing here. I mean, it must be a suicide. They'll come in there and they'll spray some stuff out there, and they'll shut all the windows and get everything dark, and they'll pull out one of them black lights, and Quincy would do this right here. He said, "Oh no, there's blood right there. Blood right there. I don't know what that is. We need to get a sample of that because I don't know what that is." But you can see everything. Every body fluid, everything that was dropped. You can see hair with that black light. Listen, we ain't bringing a black light in my house. I'm just saying. You can see it all. Hebrews chapter 12 says that God's Word exposes who we really are. That's how powerful the Word of God is. It really is. Brother Ricky, this is in God's Word. This is what God's Word says about God's Word. It's got to be true, right? If God's Word does everything that God's Word says it does, then why aren't we better people? What is it? I mean, Mr. White, if this thing is, it makes us stronger. It cuts us to the core. It removes all things that are in us that are bad. It opens our eyes. It illuminates us. It shows us what we need to get rid of. If this is true, which I believe it is, then why aren't we a better people? Why aren't we a better Christians? Why aren't we greater servants? Why aren't we sounding the alarm to all these people in the world who, listen, if Jesus were to come today, 2 to 3 billion people, after half of the tribulation would be dead. Why are we not sounding the alarm? I believe after we see the second part of this message, you'll see why. What does this scripture say about you? We saw what the Word of God says about the Word of God. But what does your copy of God's Word say about you? Now listen to me again. I want you to get this now. We just saw in John chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 12 what the Word of God says about the Word of God. But what does your copy? Now some of y'all raised your hands and you showed me your Bible. What does your copy of God's Word say about you? Turn with me to the very beginning of your Bible. This page right here. Right here. The very, very, that should be like the second or third page. First, second, or third page. Mine says this right here. Mine says, presented to Reverend Kyle Waddell. And what I did right beside my name is I wrote 843-226-1077. Do y'all know whose phone number that is? Huh? That's my phone number. That ain't your phone number. Do you know why? Because this isn't your Bible. This is my Bible. Listen, it gets better. This is what else was written. It says, It was given by Dr. Jerry C. White. Dr. White was the last pastor I had before I entered the full-time ministry as a pastor. I was a youth pastor under him. He was former South Carolina Baptist Convention president. He is a professor at Fruitland Baptist Bible Institute, where I went to school. He's a great man of God. He's coming to preach, I believe, this October for us in our fall revival. But listen, there's something here intimate just for me. He wrote this. He says, this is a pretty good translation of the Word of God. I pray it will help you in your studying. And then he wrote Philippians 4:13. That's the scripture that he claims to. Now, I claim to Proverbs 3:7 or Proverbs 1:7 or Romans chapter 10, verse 9. I mean, but that's one he loves. And then, listen, right here it says December of 2005. Do you know what that means? That's the date that he gave me this Bible. It's birthday. Our birthday. Brother Kyle, what are you? I mean, you're sounding pretty crazy right now. I want you to understand something. Can I tell you that I have found countless numbers of Bibles laying all over every church that I've ever been a pastor or youth pastor at? It never fails that all of these Bibles without a name wind up in a stack or a box or in a dusty corner. When I think of this, it makes me think of the Island of Misfit Toys from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. This Bible right here belongs to me. I want it. I need it. If it gets missing, I hope and pray that somebody looks at the front and sees that it's mine and calls me. Why? Because I have to have God's Word. Some of you, I guarantee, have multiple copies of God's Word, and you don't have a clue where any of them are right now. What does your Bible say about you? You don't even have a clue where it is. You know, I'll never, ever, ever forget when the pulpit committee was talking to me. Teresa asked me a question that was burned in her heart. And I've been on a pulpit committee. I know what it means to have a question burning in your heart. She says, what book are you currently studying right now? Remember that, Teresa? And as I recall, I think I was studying the book of Isaiah. Was I studying? Okay. I think I was studying the book of Isaiah. I was reading through the book of Isaiah. Do you know why that question was important to her? Why God put it on her heart to ask that question? If I have to think, listen, if I have to think about what book that I am studying right now, if I have to think for 2 or 3 seconds, you know, I read this the other day, and I always read Proverbs, but no. What are you intimately studying today? If you don't have a definitive answer to that, listen, you don't have the same love letter connection that I talked about at the very beginning. You mean the Word of God isn't calling out to you? It's not speaking to you? It's not just loading love on you? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Well, let me ask this as well. What does your Bible look like? Well, it's black. It's yellow. It's purple. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about what color it is. Could I flip through the pages of your copy of God's Word and have the pages open instinctively to the pages that are dear to your heart, that stirs your very soul every time you read it, or it moves you to be to the throne room of God every time that you have a time of great trials in your life? Would I hold in my hands, as I hold your copy of God's Word, a Bible that was so near and dear to you that I would see I could see, and if I held, I could see every piece of tape that held the pages, every stick of glue that held the pages together. Would I be afraid to turn the pages that were so frail to the touch of its owner's own touch and the owner's own tears? What would your Bible say it looks like to you? I'm afraid that most Bibles still look brand new. They look like they did the day they came out of your box. That you either bought it or somebody gave to you. What your Bible looks like says a lot about who you are. If a stranger were to find your Bible, if he flipped through the pages, could he concede that it belonged to a novice or a scholar? Is your Bible underlined and highlighted? Are there notes and written in every margin and just written everywhere? Are these scripture references beside scripture reference beside scripture references directing you back to another scripture reference? Listen, are the blank pages in the front and back filled with words that God inspired for you to write when you heard the man of God speak the word of God, and when the Holy Spirit spoke to you in the late hours of the night when rest would not come, but the Holy Spirit of God visited you? Are those pages filled? Or are they blank? Would your Bible say that you're a novice or you're a scholar? One of the last years I was at Riverside Baptist Church, I was walking through the church, and I guess it was time of meditation. I don't know. I was just walking through the church. It was quiet. I needed some quiet. Right behind the sanctuary, there's a prayer room. They call it a prayer room. And behind the prayer room is the flower room. And as I walked around the prayer room, I found this Bible, like, you know, I'm sure there's a place here. A place where we put all Bibles that nobody claims. Now, I know that some of y'all probably lost your Bible. Probably haven't even looked for it. But the person who owned this Bible, I promise you, they're probably grieving to this day. I want you to see what this Bible looks like. Well, first of all, it just falls apart. And if I had to guess, you see, the front page is at the back. If I had to guess when this Bible fell apart, who it belonged to, that page fell out. Well, Brother Kyle, why do you say this person is grieving? Because I want you to look every page. Every page. This, look, I'm going to close my eyes. Watch this. Notes everywhere. 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 This struck me. Look at this. There's one page, and it's maps. And I can't put my finger. They took notes on the maps. I'm sure they're grieving for this. And I spent a couple hours one day just trying to find any indication of how I could find out who this belongs to. The Word of God was alive to them. And I promise you this, after they looked and looked and looked and grieved because their copy of God's Word that they had learned from was gone, I know this, Bill. I know this. They didn't wait 2 or 3 months to get another copy of God's Word. They went immediately. I'm sure they probably had another copy, a different translation, and it didn't stop. Their study, their devotion time did not stop with God because they had lost their copy of God's Word. I imagine today, if I could find that person, if God could divinely inspire me to be led to the right house and knock on the door, I could say, listen, I want to see your copy of God's Word. today. I imagine that it would look very similar to this copy I have in my hands. Why is that? You see, church, listen. What you listen to, and what you read is what you really want to be inspired by. Did you hear that? What you listen to and what you read is what you want to be inspired by. And be honest with you, that is what you are inspired by. If you're not in the Word of God, listen, if you're not in the Word of God, if you're not reading the Word of God, listen, don't expect to hear from God. I'll go ahead and tell you, you won't hear from God. Church, to be honest, you know what your Bible says about you if you're a Christian, because it speaks to you every single day, whether you pick it up or not. I know what my Bible says about me. What does your Bible say about you? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, as we stand in your presence right now, and God, I know that we stand in your presence right now because your Word of God tells me that we're standing in your presence right now. This is holy ground. Not because of us, but because of you. God, I pray that your Spirit would move in and out each row, and you would reveal to our hearts who we are, who we were, and Lord, who we need to be. God, I pray that you would bring your people to this altar to cry out to you. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?